So let's jump into God's Word as we continue in the sanctity of life. If you open your Bibles to Psalm 127, we will get there in a bit, because we have been dealing with sanctity of life, and this will be the third week. And why so many? Because if we could go on for weeks, because God makes life important. God places a great value on life. And I said it last week, those that are running this abortion junk will answer to God. And the ones that claim to be believers and are okay with it, oh, they're going to answer and they will be sorry. But as we've been looking at sanctity of life, the first week we saw that life was given to man by the breath of God. And that man is created as the image of God. So what man is an image bearer. He carries the image of God around the earth. And he's loved by God and given dominion over the rest of creation. He's given us power. Yeah? No? No one else? Y'all going to be serious today? I'm glad I don't got my glasses on. I can't tell who's smiling who's not. So, last week we saw that God's intimacy with man is known through all of his attributes. And we talked about three of them. He knows us with his omniscience. He knows all about us more than we know of ourselves. He knows us with his omnipresence. He is everywhere with us. You cannot escape him. He created us with his omnipresence when he knit us together inside the mother's womb. And that he's with us throughout all eternity if we are children of God. Amen. Now, today we're going to see that God blesses his people. Now, we like to talk about blessings, don't we? The problem is the prosperity gospel that is preached so much today has infiltrated most churches, even to the point that sometimes we don't catch it. The prosperity gospel is the one that tells you to claim it, and God will give it to you. He'll bless you with happiness, with wealth, and with health, which is a very popular teaching, and it's emphasized way too much. It emphasizes that God will bless your health. You'll be healed. Well, people that emphasize this may not have read the Bible very much. Either that or the apostles of God were not very faithful. But that's also not what the Bible says. They were martyrs to the end. They suffered for the Lord. Jesus himself suffered. You know, God has the right to allow us to get sick for his glory. He's purchased us. He has bought us. Godly missionaries have gone to the field and died of malaria. Does that mean they didn't have faith? No. It means God brought glory to himself through them the way he wanted. That should be the desire of our life. God, use me as you will. Now, the prosperity gospel teaches that God will bless you with wealth. See, God never made a promise of financial riches to any one of us. Truth is, most of us couldn't handle financial riches, and that's why God is saving us from them. It would distract us from him. You see, the truth is, the majority of the Bible heroes that we read of were poor. They didn't have much. Jesus himself says that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Well, the prosperity gospel promises happiness. Again, the Bible never promises happiness. It promises joy in our walk with him, not an external happiness. Many godly heroes such as Elijah and Paul suffered from depression. Were they not faithful men? Because they sure done a whole lot more for God than I have. And so we got to be careful when we talk about the blessings of God that we don't get the idea of what we want. Making sure the blessing of God is that he gives so that he can be glorified through you. See, God can bless in all these ways, the health, the wealth, and happiness. But we have no place to promise that he will. Some will teach that you can pray and demand God's blessings. Well, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? What God calls to do, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. Humility is what he calls us to. We don't have the right to demand anything of God. No, we have. We don't even get to hold God accountable. Well, you said, no, you don't get to do that. God is faithful to his word. He will hold it true. But you and I ain't righteous enough to try to hold a holy God accountable. See, the blessings of God that he wants to give to his people are bigger and better than we can imagine. And they're not according to our flesh. The blessings that we want are according to our flesh, aren't they? But God, that big old nice new truck, it sure would be nice. Not at these gas prices. But you see, he's got bigger and better blessings for us. And his ways are better than anything that we can imagine. So I want to look at this chapter here, Psalms 127. As we're challenged and reminded of the blessings God will give to us when we humble ourselves to him. And so in Psalms 127, in verse 1, he starts out, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are our children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gates." Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us, allowing us to approach your throne in the name of your son, Jesus. And Lord, as we look through your word today, I ask that you'd speak to each one of our hearts. Encourage us and strengthen our faith, knowing that you have bigger promises, bigger blessings for us than we can ever ask for. Give us a desire to remain faithful and to use your blessings for your glory. Lord, I ask that you have your way and that you would speak through me today. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, the first thing we see here is God blesses with a strong home. You hear me? God blesses with a strong home. Right there in verse 1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor what? In vain that build it." Except the Lord build the house. It's useless to build anything on our own. Did you catch that? It's useless to build anything on our own because anything on our own is temporary and it carries no power. Hate to break your heart, you ain't got that much power. And so, anytime God is taken out of the equation, things become dark and wicked. Anytime, you with me? God gets taken out of the equation, things get dark and wicked. God created two institutions, some will say three. And all three go bad without obedience to God. Let me name off the three institutions that we believe that God placed there. First, God created a government. Did you know God created a government? Go back to the story of Abraham and his father-in-law, Jethro. And then in Romans, he talks about the importance of the government. The purpose was to punish the wicked and to protect the righteous. And whenever men of God rule, and we see in Scripture, they led the nations, they won battles, their needs were provided, and they lived in peace. Yeah? Study through Scripture, you're going to see that when men of God are in charge, they win battles, you still have to go to war. No matter how righteous you are, you have to work. You have to do what's got to be done, but you do it in the peace of God, under the power of God. But see, when evil men lead, there is always turmoil. Always turmoil. Look at the story of David as he led Jerusalem. They were at peace under his reign. And then his son stepped up and they crumbled. Or before David, when King Saul was there, it was great at first because he was following God. And then he neglected God and the nations divided. When the wicked are in control, bad things happen. So Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Let me share with you that righteous does not mean Republican. Righteous does not mean Democrat. Righteous means one that follows the holy word of God. Righteous one is one that now live conformed to the image of God, that wants to rule according to the precepts of God. That's a righteous man. And Scripture says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked... No, wicked doesn't mean he has to be some satanic worshiper. You with me? Wicked just means he denies the word of God. He denies righteousness. He denies the light. And if you're not in the light, where are you? You're in the dark. And when a wicked are in control, the people will mourn. Well, let me ask you, how good's our government? You better be following the ultimate authority, God Himself. You better be preaching for revival, teaching people the true hope. Let me tell you this, it might break some hearts. Trump ain't the hope for America. Biden ain't either. If I'm going to slap one, I'm going to slap all, right? Cruz ain't, Rubio ain't, I don't know who else is running. There is no hope for America aside from the name Jesus Christ. The only way there is hope for our government to be righteous, to get us where we need to be, is that they would fall on their face before a holy God. They would recognize their need to follow the ultimate authority. That's the hope we have, you see. The government that was instituted by God was changed over time. No longer to honor God, but to please man. And it's got us to where we're at. Passing laws contrary to the word of God. First institution is wicked because it neglected the ways of God. It took what God started and not letting God have leadership. It's not being built upon God, been built upon man. The second institution is God created family. And this is the main thing the chapter is speaking about, is family. Is God created a family. The purpose of the family is to strengthen His image. The image of God. To be a picture of His love for His people. And according to Ephesians chapter 6, man is to lead and protect the family. To love the wife. That's a picture of the Jesus Christ. That's what men are supposed to be, is a picture of Jesus Christ in this world. Wives, you're to be the helpmeet. That's a picture of the church. To submit to the husband, and trust me, the husband can't do it without you. So your role is vitally important. Children are to be raised to honor God. Not to be your professional football player. Not to get a scholarship. Those things are okay. As long as they get the priority first, and that's to follow God, to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. See, man has walked away from God's purpose for family, even. The feminist movement entered the home, pushing man out of leadership. The truth is, man stopped leading the way he should. Men in this church, you should be the leader of your home. Not because the women are weak, but because you are a picture of Jesus Christ. You are to be the protector at home. You should be leading them to church. You should be leading them into God's word. You should be leading them into righteousness. Man, that's our responsibility. It's a big one, yes, so we better be committed to it. But men, we've stopped leading. And I'm speaking about the church. And what has happened over the years is men stopped leading and the feminist movement snuck into the church and the home. Well, divorce rate has spiked. Again, I'm talking within the church. You know, the divorce rate within the church is the same as the one outside the church? Sad. And now, there's a pride, oh, the divorce rate is going down. That's a bad thing. That's because people quit getting married, not just cohabitating. You see, we have broken up what God has created again. Children are dishonoring their parents and other authority. I couldn't imagine being a teacher today. I'm a bus driver. There's a reason they told me I couldn't carry a gun on the bus. But I do got a broom right behind my seat. Understand? Children will quit understanding and stop being taught to respect their leadership, their authority. Right? Children are seen as an inconvenience. So what do? We kill them. Kill them. More and more wickedness within the home. God instituted a family for His glory, for His purpose. And when man changed it, what did he do? He ruined it. The third institution God created is the church. And according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the purpose of the church is to be the pillar of truth. Yeah, we have fellowships. We have a lot of fun being together. We should be united. We should be a body of Christ, a family. But if this is not the central focus, if this is not our standard of living, if this is not what we hold each other accountable to, if this is not what we're preaching, the church no longer matters. We become a social club. See, our job as a church is to preach God's word, to build God's people, to win people to Christ. But man has even changed the church. The church is now about entertaining. I've shared with it before, going to pastors' conferences, how many times and how many parts of those sessions are how to entertain people. Well, if you do this, you'll really get their attention. You know how many times pastors have told me that I should have a screen for every one of my points and I should have everything up there because it gets everybody's attention more and entertains you more? I think you got the screen right in front of you. If you're not carrying God's word, let me tell you, you're at war without the weapon. Bring God's word. You know we're going to use it every time we gather, amen? Bring God's word with you. A man's changed church to entertain people. It comforts people in their sin because we don't want to hurt feelings. Trust me, if I hurt your feeling by naming off your sins, it wasn't on purpose, but it was on purpose by God. The Spirit of God has a purpose to bring conviction upon your sin so that you can't sit there comfortable. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Spirit of God until you can be thankful for Him. Because once you come to know Christ and draw in a relationship with Him, at some point you'll say, Lord, thank you for your conviction. You been there yet? We can say, Lord, thank you for bringing guilt. But man has ruined even that. Because when the church of God doesn't preach the Word of God, doesn't hold accountable according to the Word of God, it makes the church of God useless and no longer a church of God. You see, here are three examples that when God builds something, it is righteous, it is beneficial, and it will grow and it'll be good for all that are a part of it. And it'll honor God. But when man changes its purpose, trying to do without God, ignoring God's ways, not honoring God, within that institution, what happens to it? It becomes vain. Notice in those first two verses, the word vain was used three times. Because all those things are vain if God is not in charge. Vain means it's worthless, it's empty, it has no power. In other words, it will no longer be good at all and it's going to crumble. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that builds it. We've got to let God build our house. You want your house to be holy? You want your kids to be raised up to love God? You live according to the principles of God's word. It means be obedient. Submit to His authority. Remember who He is and honor Him. And what He builds will have eternal purpose. Your family should have a purpose greater than itself. You hear that? Your family should have a purpose greater than itself. And that purpose should be to make Jesus Christ known, to be a reflection of Jesus and his church. Are we doing it right? Well, can people see Christ in you? Each one of us can say, wow, man, I messed up. Yeah, I know. That's why we're part of the church, so we can grow together. We can strengthen each other to keep conforming to his image. But he goes on here in verse 1, the second part of it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh, but in what? In vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Again, watchman wakes in a worthless way. The second blessing is God blesses with safety. Man does all he does, all he can do to live longer, doesn't he? You know, they want to stay protected too. Have airbags in their cars, alarms, maybe not at your house, but going to the city, there's alarms on everything. You know, we got medicines and exercise and guns and bodyguards, and we want to be protected, we want to be safe, but the truth is, if we're not allowing God to guide us, there is no safety, and that watchman, the protector, whatever you're using for safety, is vain. It's worthless. You see, it does no good for you. We have no power against the evil one. You have no power without God to conquer the lion that's seeking who he may devour. Without walking in the ways of God, you have no way to stop the one who steals, kills, and destroys. Because you don't have the power over him. But if he'll submit to the one who gives life, he will give him more abundantly, according to John chapter 10, verse 10. You see, if our pursuit is after God, the giver of life, life himself, he will give you life and he'll give it more abundantly. And we'll know that the work and the protection and the life is from him. He's under his control. When we're under God's control, we don't need to try to protect ourselves, do we? Brother Jeff shared of a man that went as a missionary to the Indians. He went knowing he could die, and guess what happened? He died. Did God forget about him? No. How many people around the world heard of how important the ministry was to him? Was God glorified through that? That may have been God's will right there. Right there. When he's in control, we can sleep at peace because he has power over the evil one. Psalms 4:8 says this, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. As Lord, I'm at peace. I can sleep with my eyes closed because you know what? You're in control. You're in control. Many of us can say that. Whatever God's will is, let it happen. Let it be, Lord. As believers, trusting God, our desire is that he be honored. So even when bad things happen, you with me? Even when bad things happen, what we would consider bad, as long as he is honored, we can be at peace. Isn't that a different concept than something than a lot of the modern teaching? You know what? Even bad things that we see as bad, as long as they honor God, it's okay. Sometimes God puts things in our lives that we look at as bad, but he's given us an opportunity to show faith in him. Am I getting a lot of amens today, am I? Someone give me a yee-haw or something. I'll take it all. You see, when we die, we're going to be at peace if we're walking with Christ and we're letting him work through us. So God blesses us with a strong home. He blesses us with safety. And then we see, verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. See, the third thing is God blesses with provision. See, this verse is not against a work ethic. Okay, it's not saying you don't need to work. Don't worry about it. No, it's not against the work ethic. What it is for is about not forgetting your priorities. We talk about this in Sunday school some. It's knowing what is important to us. It's using money so we can further our ministry rather than the other way around. Again, we say to this hard work and using our life just to gain stuff, he says it is vain, worthless, to slave our lives away for stuff. Listen to God's promise in Matthew chapter 6. You're familiar with this passage. In verse 31 through 34 in Matthew chapter 6, he speaks of how God provides for the birds. He brings growth to our bodies. He decorates the earth with beautiful flowers. You with me? He covers the fields with grass, and he says to you and I, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The point is, you have a greater purpose than worrying about stuff. And do you have a greater purpose in life than a big old boat? Do you have a greater purpose in life than a big old car? A big old checking account? There's something much greater, more valuable. Especially the older you get. Good as all that. The later in life, hey, thank you. Don't want nobody to be offended. So. But later in life you get, the more you realize, I want a plant for eternity. I want something that's going to last beyond my 100 years of life. I'm lucky to get to 60, but let's just say that. I want to plant beyond. And so what he tells us to do, your greater purpose is what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. To seek his righteousness. You should want to live to honor him. You should be concerned with fulfilling his purpose in your life. That should be your desire. That's what should push you and motivate you more than anything else. If you do the priority of seeking God's righteousness, right there, it tells us that he'll provide all the other stuff we need. One of the texts we read today, look at verse 2, about halfway through, it says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. God provides for his people even the peace they need, the safety they need. He takes care of them so that they can fulfill his purpose, his call. And if God builds it, he says God's going to protect it, he's going to provide for it. And one last thing, the blessings don't end. Look at verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fourth point is God blesses with children. Our society has done good to destroy the value of kids. Tell you what, we got a lot of value downstairs right now. We got value right there in the back. Brother Chris is playing with him. Hey, that's cool. And that's important that our kids are comfortable and love coming to church. And there's someone to go jump on his lap during church. Leave mama alone for a little bit, huh? And there's great value in our kids. Appreciate those that teach our kids. Some of the teachers are in here now. The investing in them. Because God didn't give us some cheesy little gift. He gave us his heritage. This is his gift. And it's funny that even as believers, we limit his reward sometimes. Nah, I just want two kids. Man, I wish I had three more. We were talking about that the other day. I mean, most of you know, we have three in heaven waiting for us. But it'd be cool to have three more. Why? Josiah wants to leave the house. He keeps just a couple more years. And teachers cost too much for me to make them fail him. But I'm trying. But it's a blessing to have kids at home, isn't it? It's a blessing. I'm sick of hearing people say, I can't wait until my kids are out of the house, empty nester. I don't want to be empty nester. That poor woman's stuck with me the whole time. They're a blessing from God. They're a gift from God. Be careful complaining or being negative about kids. The reason we don't appreciate kids, and that's going to get somebody mad, the reason we don't appreciate kids is because we're selfish. I heard someone say it before me, so don't blame me. We've become very selfish. Well, I want to play, I want to do, I want to go. You know what Scripture tells us? That in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. I want a career, so kill this baby. I want to travel, so I don't want kids. They're a reward from God, and we're killing them. How would you feel giving somebody a gift that you bought them and they throw it away without them ever looking at it? It would hurt your feelings. You imagine God giving you his heritage. And I'm saying, eh. See, our focus is taken off of God's purpose and placed on ourselves too often. And we've taken a few weeks now and focused on why kids are such a special gift. They're a gift from God. Right here he tells us they carry his image. We've seen that in Genesis. They have God's breath of life. They're created for God's purpose. God wants an intimate relationship with them to the point that he even netted them together inside the womb. If we can get that in mind as believers, understand God's love for children and how many times he used children in Scripture. How often Jesus wanted to hold kids in Scripture, that he rebuked his disciples for saying, no, no, he's got to preach right now. Get away from them. Let them come here. They can sit on my lap while I preach. Jesus loved kids. You know, here's our relation with those kids in verse 4. Look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. We have a great responsibility for those children, don't we? And John MacArthur said, you can raise them up to be athletes, and I can't remember the exact quote, professional athletes. You can raise them up to be doctors. You can raise them up to have degrees and be a doctorate. You can raise them up to be millionaires. But if you don't teach them God's word, you failed altogether. You got to teach them and be examples to them. Because if this book is your Sunday book, you with me? They'll see that you prioritize it so little that it won't even be their Sunday book. They better see this in your life and in your hand more than just on Sundays. If this church is just a Sunday church for you, guess what? For them, it ain't going to be even on Sundays. But by the grace of God, we'll gain some. Why? Because they better see that it's important to you. And you can teach them why it's important as soon as they see it in your life it being important. We have a great responsibility to the kids. Why? Because God told us in Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 5 and 6, talk about the family very heavy. But in Ephesians 6, 4, he says that rise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's our job with the kids, is to raise them up to love God, to honor God's word. In other words, to raise them up to be conformed to the image of God, to raise them up to be more and more the image of God as they grow, to understand that they are the breath of God. We have an important job to do with the kids. That's to raise them up and let them know who they are in the eyes of God. They are loved. If we raise them to honor God and love God, there's two benefits for us. You with me? Understand that in verse 3, well, we'll get there. The two benefits of raising them up, as he says, there are arrows in the hands of a mighty man. They'll be very beneficial to you. Here's how they're going to be beneficial to you. First, they will care for you or us. And it's important for that back row to hear over here. Right? It'll be important for them here. Because what if you raise them up in the precepts of God? First, they will care for us when we get older. You with me? Our kids should care for us when we get older. In 1 Timothy, as Paul is telling Timothy and instructing Timothy on how to guide his church, he says this in 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. They'll understand if you raise them up in the Word of God that they have a responsibility to take care of their home, their family, their mamas and daddies. Why? Because if they neglect their parents, it speaks of their spiritual condition. Because it goes on, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever, worse than a wicked man. If you can neglect your family, God says you are worse than the lost. Raise them upright. Let each one of us evaluate. Do I have family out there that I should be showing love to, that needs my encouragement, that needs my help, that needs me to visit? And I say that because I go to a care center regularly and often see people that see nobody but me or the nurses. And that's sad. That's sad. But first, they'll care for us. But secondly, they will fill the earth with God's image. If you raise up them kids according to the Word of God, we will fill the earth not with just kids, but with the image of God. Isn't that not what He created us to do? He created us to be His image on this earth, isn't it? Somebody with me? Man, it's quiet out there. I get nervous. You know that. See, remember, this was God's command to Adam and Eve to fill the earth, not just to make babies, to make God image bearers. But to make God image bearers, we've got to teach them to love God and to honor God. See, if we use God's gift of children correctly, as He instructs us to, raising them for His glory, you with me? Look what it tells you and I about those kids in verse 5. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Happy is the man that's full of them. Now we can bicker over how many is in a quiver, but it's at least 7 is a full quiver. So the number goes up from there. There's a bunch of arguments on how many is in there, but I don't care. How many of y'all have 7 kids? It'd be cool to have 7, 8, 9. Some mamas are saying, you better have the rest of them. Mm-hmm. You see, happy is the man that's full of them, that's got a bunch of them. Why? Because they're happy enjoying the gift of God, but they're happy enjoying watching those kids serve God. What did John say? Referring to the church. In 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That should be the reason we're raising them up and working hard on the gift God given to us so that they will walk in God's truth. In verse 5, it says the kids are at the gate and they're unashamed. That's just strange to our culture. But the gate was a place that vendors or traders try to take advantage of the family and gouge you for as much as they get out of you. Or it's where the enemy would come and make threats and accusations to your family. And it's where the needy would sit and beg. You see, a lot goes on at the gate. Those kids that the kid daddy has watched and raised faithfully to honor God is now at the age that he can sit back and watch those kids. Because they had watched him for years go to the gate and do his best to provide for the family. He would go to the gates to lovingly help and serve those in need. He would go to the gates and protect his family from the threats. And now they have grown up, and Daddy is happy to watch them follow the example. Daddy is happy to see them at the gate doing what they learned. But understand this, this family did not arrive here by chance. They had a purpose. They had a purpose in how they raised their kid and why they raised their kid and how they were going to raise him. They knew to let God grow their family. They knew to let God protect them as he will. And they trusted that God would provide their needs. See, they raised those gifts, those kids, for the glory of God. Now, when they're old, they can take joy in watching those kids do the same. If you have a kid that's walking in truth, faithful to God, you know the joy that it can bring to you. Now, how's this message about the sanctity of life? It's that we must understand that God created every portion of life for his glory. He knitted together a baby in the womb, and he desires to guide that baby all the way through his life. And if that baby who becomes a young man, eventually a grown man, will follow the precepts of God, be faithful to God, God will build him strong. He will keep him safe. He will provide to him. He will allow him to be a happy man. We must be careful in using his blessings correctly. His blessings are given to us for his glory. Because his blessings, those children, carry his image, and they carry the breath of life. Amen. Would you stand with me? You know, God has blessed each of us in different ways, in different areas of our lives. You know, some of us can look at our kids or get ready for grandkids and more of them. And we can thank God for those blessings. Sometimes, while we get grouchy or grumpy or upset at him for doing something that he shouldn't have, we need to stop, don't we? And we need to start counting the blessings God given to us. Yeah? Do you have some blessings in your life? Many different blessings. And so let's count our blessings.